You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June 15, 2021, as you heard in the news, President Biden is about to meet with President Putin of Russia. It will be a cakewalk for Putin. Biden talks tough when he's actually being interviewed, when he subjects to an interview or issues a statement. But I don't expect those words to ring that solid and fearful for Putin. And in fact, Biden's already been kind of walking around like, I'm not exactly sure why I'm here and how best to do it. He took a question from a reporter, by the way. How can America's allies trust your assertion that America is back after Trump's presidency? What he said was, what I'm saying is, watch me. Watch what I'm doing. He said, it's appropriate. The Republican Party is vastly diminished in numbers. The leadership of the Republican Party is fractured. The Trump wing of the party is the bulk of the party, but it makes up a significant minority of the American people. I have no idea what that really means. Just walking around in circles. If that's the way he's going to be talking to these world leaders, they probably were glad that they were done with him at the G7. Go on and go talk to Putin. By the way, Molly Hemingway with the Federalist says already Biden is, quote, straight up flattering Putin. He's calling him a worthy adversary ahead of their meeting. He's already, as Molly Hemingway pointed out, previously called the Russian president a killer, which would be right. But now he's moving into, as Molly Hemingway said, moving straight up flattering of Putin after calling him a killer. And you want to know where this nation is going and America is back, as Biden wants everyone to believe that it's going to be better under him as we continue. And we're just a few months into this thing. Look what his Attorney General Merrick Garland is doing. First of all, when asked the other day, VP Harris said to the Northern Triangle people, don't come to our border. Don't come. I believe you'll be sent back. Couldn't even be firmly saying that. So, Attorney General, you're charged with enforcing our law. What would you say? He said, well, I wouldn't tell them don't come. And he's also saying he has a new approach to fighting domestic terrorism. A new approach. He said, we need not only a whole-of-government approach, but a whole-of-society approach. What? You want more confusion? Biden's Native American secretary is saying what we need in this nation as a priority is tribal justice. I can see where that road's going. And then we've got Pennsylvania Governor Wolf vowing to veto every pro-life bill every time. This is, again, where the leftists want to go. As I also pointed out earlier, some Republicans are talking about we're going to defund any travel the VP outside the states until she actually visits the southern border. She's still getting criticism for not being there. It's hot. That's one thing she could say. 83rd day since taking that role to manage the Biden administration response to the migrant crisis, still not going to the border. It won't change anything when she goes, but now she's just defiant, saying, I'm not going to go. See, I don't have to do it. But I've been there before. She was, when she was Attorney General of California, and when she was a senator in California, especially when Trump was in office, so she could go down and show how bad the situation was. Oh, speaking of California, it's reopening today. Today. Most businesses now in California open 100% capacity, and they'll be able to drop the mask requirements by the end of the month. Only large indoor events will face vaccination requirements. In other words, we got to show that you've got a vaccine before you get in. It could come to that. Is that another good medical practice or political control practice? And, of course, we have major heat hitting all across the nation. All the western U.S. under excessive heat. Doctors have a warning for you, but before that, this one you should be told. They have a drought emergency in April still, mandatory water restrictions across much of California. Arizona worried about wildfires, but doctors are saying be careful of hot surfaces like asphalt. Yeah, you needed to be told that one, right? I guess they also need to know this if they're going to the Tokyo Olympics. Any players? They are distributing at least 150,000 condoms to the athletes at next month's Summer Games. But the organizers say, hey, that's not to be used here at the Athletes Village. That's for you to take home. I don't know. I can't even begin to explain that reasoning.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And I'm
this is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As beloved as she is among Democrats and, you know, many who respect the Supreme Court, RBG, the notorious, although there was nothing notorious about Justice Ginsburg, may she rest in peace. With reflection, do you wish that she had decided to retire during the Obama administration?
Oh, 100%. And I wish that her illness had not taken her life when it did, and she made it a few months longer.
Wow, that's a pretty loaded question. Would you not agree? That is a question posed to Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon, by CNN and Chris Cuomo. Basically saying, and with all due respect to RBG, may she rest in peace, do you wish she had decided to retire during the Obama administration? And Senator Merkley, yeah, 100%. I wish her illness had not taken her life. When it did, she made it a few months longer. Why, so she'd have another birthday, or because she would live a longer life? None of those reasons. Wish she'd lived longer till Biden got into office. That's what he was wishing for. Remember the pressure that Barack Obama, when he was president, was putting on Ruth Bader Ginsburg at her age, that, you know, maybe you need to step aside. And she was defiant. Iowa had to give her full credit because she was not going to go until she was ready. I mean, she just wasn't going to. And, of course, they wanted her to go when Obama was in office so he could appoint a replacement for her. That was the whole idea. They weren't trying to say, hey, you know, it's time to go out and enjoy the good life. Get out and do that. You know, do something. Don't hang around here. But she would not go. Now, it is possible that as they were moving into the election of Trump and Hillary, that she thought that Hillary was going to win. And so then with Hillary winning, then she would be able to let President Hillary Clinton. Oh, God, excuse me. I'm sorry. Every time I say that, I feel a big one coming on. I got to be real careful. I cannot believe I said her name with the title president in front of it. Please excuse me. But she didn't get elected. Trump did. And then, as you heard Chris Cuomo say, bless her little heart, but with all due respect, don't you wish she had died before she did, or at least lasted longer? In other words, died when Obama was in office or lasted longer to get through the Trump era. Well, she didn't. She passed away at 87 years of age in 2020, giving Trump an opportunity to immediately nominate a U.S. Supreme Court justice. And that's what we have going on right now with the Supreme Court. Democrats circling the Supreme Court like vultures waiting. One next one on their target list is Justice Breyer, Stephen Breyer, 82 years of age. And he's still there. So in that case, again, the question, when you keep in mind at the age of Stephen Breyer, and he is probably the leader of the liberal side that exists in there now. Remember, Breyer was appointed by Bill Clinton. In fact, he replaced at that time retiring Justice Harry Blackmun. And ever since, Breyer has been associated with the liberal wing of the court. So again, Cuomo's question kind of sets the stage for what do we do with guys like Breyer and even the notorious RBG, although she's gone now. What do we do?
Are you in favor of going to some of the older, they're all pretty old except for a couple new conservatives, going to the judges and ones that were appointed by Democrats and saying, you should retire now and let us fill the vacancies and then try to make a power play if you can get your own members on board?
Let's stop it right there. That question just basically says that we want members of Congress to tell Supreme Court justices when they're done. You're out of here. We want you out now because we have the controlling votes and we can put someone else in your place. And we don't want to take a chance that Justice Breyer would live through this Biden-Harris term, and in 2024, or even in 2022, when we have an issue with the midterm elections, which we'll come back to in a moment, but certainly on the 2024 presidential election again, that Trump or some Trump mini-me gets in and begins to, again, have the ability to nominate someone to the Supreme Court if you pass away then. In other words, Breyer, at 82 years of age, and I've seen nothing about his health that indicates he's in any dire straits at this point. 82, he could probably last longer. As I said, Ginsburg, she held on to 87. And I didn't wish her ill will at that time, but I tell you, a lot of Democrats, while Obama was in office, probably were. Then they were praying, oh, do not breathe your last breath while Trump's in the Oval Office. And now the leftist vultures are circling around Justice Breyer. You have to imagine what he feels like right now. And he knows they're pushing him. He knows that. He's smart enough to figure that out. Been on the Supreme Court since 94. 82, and they want somebody else. They want to make sure they get another liberal in his place while they can. So I want to go back to that Cuomo question as he raised the question, in this case, with Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon. And let's hear the question and the answer.
Are you in favor of going to some of the older, they're all pretty old except for a couple new conservatives, going to the judges and ones that were appointed by Democrats and saying, you should retire now and let us fill the vacancies and then try to make a power play if you can get your own members on board?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not comfortable doing that because I don't think the Senate should be telling members of the Supreme Court when to retire in terms of the separation of power. I you know, my secret heart is that some members, particularly the 82-year-old Stephen Breyer, will maybe have that thought on his own, that he should not let his seat be subject to the potential theft, that was not the type of damage he'd like to see happen to the court. But not our place, not the Senate's place to carry that message.
Well, I have to praise Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon. I'm saying that's not really our place. We shouldn't be doing that. But AOC and the progressive wing, they don't care. Now, of course, AOC and the progressive wing exist primarily in the House. So they don't even have a vote on a Senate confirmation for a next Supreme Court justice. But she's already stating that he should get off the bench. She's flat out suggesting he should retire with us in charge. And she's trying to make it clear to him that This is the time. You need to step down in the near future. In fact, her latest interview she did over the weekend saying, you know, it's something I think about. I think about all the time that we have him retire, step aside. You have Senator Merkley saying, you know, I just don't think it's our place. In his words exactly, I'm not comfortable going and asking the man to, can you step aside? But here's AOC. Decorum aside, I just think, yeah, he should get out of there. In fact, probably she had a hook. She'd put it on him and yank him out anyway. But this question is not just coming from the CNN and type. It's existing everywhere, even inside the state-controlled media, because it's the next power play. It's the next big stake that they've got to dig in. This is the line. We've got to hold the line here. We cannot possibly give someone like Trump another chance to nominate another Supreme Court justice. So if Breyer will leave now, we know Biden and Harris are in office now. Who knows after 2024? Well, I'll give you an example. The questions are also coming, like from MSNBC on The Last Word with host O'Donnell and his question that he posed for Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat, Rhode Island.
Are you hoping that Justice Breyer creates a vacancy on the Supreme Court this summer?
Well, now would be the right time. And if I believed it would do any good to say that, then I'd probably say that. But, you know, you get on the Supreme Court, and you get those robes and you make your own decisions. And I don't know that Senator is trying to tell you what to do actually makes that decision easier rather than harder.
Yeah. Do you think Breyer would even take to it? There's a piece Adam Cohen had written for The Atlantic recently, titled Justice Breyer's Legacy Defining Decision. Subtitled, The Longer Breyer Remains, the More Likely a Republican President Choosing His Successor Becomes. As written June 12th. So he's already acknowledging it as well that, if Breyer continues to hang on, it's more likely that we're going to have a Republican name a U.S. Supreme Court justice again. Well, there won't be a Republican in office in the White House until at least after the next presidential election. But here he is already suggesting that, indirectly suggesting, Democrats can't hold on to what they've got. that they could lose. And then they wouldn't have the control again. And to that point, again, Lawrence O'Donnell, a nemesis in the BC, even suggested, well, you know, it's not just the issue about dealing with the justices. Look at the makeup of the U.S. Senate. Keep in mind, it's at 50-50. A tie vote will go to the vice president, who would be Harris, who cast a deciding vote. So if someone's nominated with the current makeup, well, then she would obviously go ahead with the Democrats and put their choice in. But you got to, it's almost funny, yet this is dark humor if it is. Lawrence O'Donnell says, some of you senators, you need to be careful.
The truth is, as Senate history shows, the Republicans could conceivably get control of the Senate next week. We have seen plane crashes and other forms of deaths of senators. What I serve in the Senate. So we really are at all times a heartbeat away from Republican control. So presumably, if the Republicans got control of the Senate next month, it would apply right now. It would apply for the rest of the Biden presidency. No Supreme Court confirmations.
Well, there you go. You got to make sure all the Democrat senators are safe and protected. In the meantime, Biden continues his trip. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we have today a meeting between President Biden and Russian President Premier Putin. Biden has talked tough going into it, but at the same time has turned around and tried to make nice before the meeting. Molly Hemingway of The Federalist had called that out. Said, look what he's been doing. In fact, here's her wording from her statement. Molly Hemingway again. She said, President Biden couldn't have been speaking a bigger game, calling the Russian president a killer. You might remember it led to the Russian ambassador being recalled to Moscow. Something, she adds, it's something that had not happened in a long time. Just a real big diplomatic faux pas that wasn't matched by anything policy-wise. And she added, I mean, when you think about having an aggressive policy towards Russia, you don't kill your own energy pipeline. You don't help them finish their energy pipeline through Germany, which is what Biden did. He's been kind of all over the place, but now he's just moved into straight-up flattery of Vladimir Putin when months ago he's calling him a killer. Now he's calling him a worthy adversary. This is in advance of their meeting. Do you think Biden is going to talk as tough to Putin as he's indicating in all the, quote, news statements and conferences and remarks he makes? You know, the answer would be if we could have cameras recording the whole thing and watch it full, but I don't know what we're going to get out of that. In fact, we're not sure what to expect from Biden right now. He had a news conference scheduled yesterday in Brussels. Reporters waited for 3 hours for him to show up, and they say when he arrived, he looked kind of fatigued, but he did arrive. Said, we had a productive day of meetings with the world leaders of the NATO summit. Had 100 reporters in the large conference room, but he didn't call on anyone that was not on a pre-approved list. In fact, he had stated the other day, if I call anybody that's not on the list, I'm going to get in trouble with the staff. In other words, they already are clearing questions from nice reporters. Don't anybody ask anything tough. So he shows up 3 hours for that. Said, I'm sorry, we're all a little late. Sorry about that. The whole thing lasted 25 minutes, and he was gone again. I have not seen if we're going to get any actual live coverage other than just a photo op between Biden and Putin. And I wouldn't expect it necessarily, because some of the things they talk about probably should be held between the world leaders behind closed doors, not for general transparency. I will have to accept that we probably should do it that way, but I just want to know, are you really going to be as tough to him then, or are you going to be all smiling Joe and talk about what kind of ice cream you like? And, of course, there's not going to be a news conference after. There will not be a joint news conference. A CNN analyst pointed out that Putin was pushing for it. Russia wanted a joint press conference. Biden, no. And his people told him, don't do a joint conference. They're afraid he would be shown up by Putin. And Biden's response explained the decision. Well, this is not a contest about who could do better in front of a press conference or try to embarrass each other. That's a cop-out. But that's what they're doing at this point. Coming up, at what point are we going to stand up and say enough is enough when it comes to the wokeness? You don't want to miss the next segment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We struggle with human greed, racism, extreme versions of individualism and capitalism, white supremacy, growing wealth gaps, disease, climate crisis, extreme poverty amid luxury and waste right next door. And the list goes on.
And the list goes on. That was a speech given at the Justice High School graduation ceremony in Falls Church, Virginia, just a few days ago, June 7th, by Abrar Omish, the school board's only Muslim member. She delivered the keynote address. What she had titled her address is, Remember Jihad. Well, jihad takes us right back to 9/11 and other such events. And so she's admonishing these students as they're graduating, rather than lifting them up and everything. She's talking about all you've been living through and your everything from your white privilege to your male privilege to anything else you had. And we have all this other stuff going on around us, including private enterprise and entrepreneurship, which is all damaging to us. You know, if she had singled out and said, let me show you how it operates in some real life, say, such as in, let's say Hollywood, and how all the elite Hollywood actors and actresses who are far, far left live in their gated mansions and have moats around their home where you can't get to them unless you are invited, how they live their life of, quote, privilege, compared to those sleeping on the sidewalks of the state of California, much less across the rest of the nation? If you'd make it a comparison like that, I think a lot of us would say, you know, yeah, these things are important. We do need to deal with them. And maybe this generation coming forward can help move us forward as a nation, united, not dividing us. But that speech, that's, again, just more division. So she gave that. And as a result, immediately, of course, there was some backlash. But before I get into that part of it, the president of the student government introduced her, noting that Abrar Amish had campaigned for presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. Did that make a difference in her speech? Yeah, part of the background they want to present, I guess. And that her father was, quote, a leader and board member of the Dar al-Hijab Islamic Center. I might have mispronounced it. If I did, I apologize. I wasn't trying to. But we do know that is the namesake of a mosque attended by two of the 9/11 hijackers in 2001. In 2001, that's where they were going to mosque. And also the mosque attended by the radical Iman al-Awlaki and Nadal Hassan, the 2009 Fort Hood soldier. Remember going on that shooting spree at Fort Hood? So this is the person that they invite to give a graduation speech. The Fairfax County School Board was certainly aware of her past and what was likely to be said, but no one bothered to check it, and there's another big point. But one parent decided, I've had enough, I got to speak out, and I'm glad this parent is, because there are many other parents who would like to do it, but maybe they're afraid of the woke culture. You get out in the front, they'll cap you at the knees, or if not you, your family. So as a reaction began to come out of that, Fairfax County parent Gary Aiken did an interview with Fox News and talked about Abrar Amish and her past, and the past should have said, this is what you should expect.
Abrar Amish's comments here, her incendiary comments, are not the first example of divisive and anti-Semitic rhetoric. Several weeks ago, she posted vile and anti-Semitic tweets on her social accounts, which were linked to her official nonpartisan Fairfax County School Board page, where she called Israel an apartheid colonizer that desecrates the Holy Land and kills Palestinians. And this caused huge outrage amongst over 250,000 Jewish Americans here in Northern Virginia, and it sparked outrage across all political lines, and there were calls for her to apologize. She offered no apology. She doubled down on it.
Yeah, she did. She doubled down. Now, when the school board members got pressed, how can you allow a member of the school board to go out and make those kinds of statements, as she did on her social accounts, vile anti-Semitic tweets? What was the reaction of the Fairfax County School Board?
To say that school board members don't represent the school board when they're at official school functions like a commencement ceremony are absurd. And it doesn't stop there. The speaker who introduced her as a Libyan American. She's a U.S. citizen. She was born here. Before that, she refused to put her hand over her heart for the Pledge of Allegiance. She's refused at other ceremonies to stand for junior ROTC cadets. And during the Pledge of Allegiance at Justice High School's commencement, they changed the words in the pledge from under God to under Allah.
Because she was giving the speech. You have to ask, well, how did she ever get elected? Well, that's some parts of that Virginia, that West Virginia area, there, I should say, that, you know, of the Fairfax County, I mean, extremely liberal, obviously. That's how she got in. But I you have to ask if some of them are having second thoughts about it, but do they dare speak out? And here you have the school board saying, well, you know, if we stop it, if we do anything about it, that's going to be violating her First Amendment rights. Now, riddle me this. Let's say they introduced a speaker and he had he or she had ties to the Klan. And talked about that, you know, we need to make sure that we reestablish whiteness in this nation. Would that be allowed? Would it be allowed if they did it on their own private social media page and they would be invited to speak? Would that not immediately say, condemn them, get rid of them? And I would agree with you. I would certainly agree with you. They're entitled to their First Amendment speech, obviously. But if they're going to serve as a member of the school board and push it that way, and yet they're going to get a pass because it's a leftist viewpoint, and it's not really even a leftist viewpoint in many cases. It's a far progressive, radical viewpoint. Same thing we hear from Congresswoman Omar. And there's no doubt there were a lot of folks of the Jewish religion who got very upset to hear her attitude and her approach, and then to see her showing up and doing that. And the speech itself, I've given, quote, commencement addresses before. No one's ever asked to see my speech, and sometimes they wouldn't be able to anyway because I'm kind of forming it when I get there. But I would have, you know, I will guarantee them I'm not going to say anything intended to divide your community or anything else. Now, of course, that's how it's interpreted as something else. But this particular thing with a background, as you just heard listed by the parent in this case that was speaking out, that Aiken, Gary Aiken, was saying the school board knew her past, and yet nobody bothered to even look or even ask to see that speech. Just listen.
So the idea that none of this was sanctioned, none of this was pre-approved, that nobody proofread her speech and said, maybe you should moderate here. Maybe right. The word jihad doesn't belong. The idea that nobody read the speech and nobody went over any of these other things that happened at the commencement that angered parents rightly, was not reviewed is just absurd yeah. on its face.
Absurd on its face. And the other part of that, the other part of the equation, if she's on that school board, you have to wonder what kind of curriculum is going to be shoved down the parents and teachers, students and teachers going forward. She's just one member of the school board, but do they dare speak out against her? I'm looking at a quote that was from a former Wall Street Journal columnist, Asra Nomani. And she said, reference on Fox, speaking about that speech, she said her speech was, quote, depressing. I'll read you the full quote. It was just really depressing. It was indicative of this radicalization that is happening within school boards and school districts and schools across the country, from principals to the teachers to political operatives like a Maurice. She's actually a political operative. And she said, I know her very well. And yes, we're both Muslims. And she said she gave that speech, but the script was written years ago. In other words, she's saying she was writing from the hatred of Israel. That was her speech. And remember how they had to change one thing? Remember this?
She refused to put her hand over her heart for the Pledge of Allegiance. She's refused at other ceremonies to stand for junior ROTC cadets. And during the Pledge of Allegiance at Justice High School's commencement, they changed the words in the pledge from under God to under Allah.
We'll be back.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My boots on the ground reporter in Chicago, Andrew, sent me a piece out of a Milwaukee publication, and it was talking about how they had a nationwide day of action to teach the truth rally held by the president, vice president of the Milwaukee Public Schools Board. And Bob Patterson, the president of the board, said, in fact, there are so many state legislatures considering legislation that will suppress the teaching of racism and sexism and even prohibit professional training in those areas was, in my mind, outrageous, had to be publicly denounced. He said, keep in mind that over half the kids in Milwaukee public schools are below basic in math and science. Proficiency in some Milwaukee high schools is in the single digits. He said the kids in the Milwaukee public school system can't read or write how they're supposed to, yet the leaders of the Milwaukee public school board, or school, I should say, want to teach them about racial grievances and tell students that they are victims of straight white people. So that's not helping educate the kids, is it? Are there some things that we need to address and we're constantly trying to make this nation better? Yes. But what we have now is that everybody's got to be a victim. And if you're not a victim, then you're the oppressor. There's no balance. And the bigger part here is pointed out in that one piece. You send your kids to school to be educated. Political studies, and some of those, okay, you may have some of that, but when it becomes more of a, what can we do to indoctrinate when we get information out that, well, you know, it's we need to change the math standards because some kids can't keep up with it, and it's got to be a racial relationship, and yet they will sometimes acknowledge, and the problem is some of the kids that are doing well, it's not that they're white. That maybe they're Asian, and there's another stereotype. Where do you want to stop with this stuff? Are you just ready to say, enough? Let's just get back to some basics. We're never going to be the Norman Rockwell picture and painting and portrait again. We're not going to be that. And in many cases, we shouldn't be. But unfortunately, where we're going now, yeah, I don't know. I worry for my grandchildren and their children going forward. But maybe they will have something they can enjoy and share and say, doesn't this just kind of, just look at this. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this the kind of thing that would just kind of make you feel really, really special and uplifting? Like going to an art show, looking at a painting. There's a Soho art dealer, you know, Soho, that's part of the New York art scene that is going to hold an exhibition coming up soon. Now, keep in mind, some of these art pieces of artwork, they're going to be pretty expensive. I don't know if everyone's going to be able to afford it. Well, probably most of us. And if you had the money, you may not want to. Ranging from $75,000 per artwork to $500,000. And some might just be, for $75,000, works on paper, just some works on paper of the artist. Others would be large-scale painting. And the artist says, I don't paint from emotions or feeling, which I think are both very ephemeral. For me, painting is much more kind of trying to bring forth what is, I think, the universal truth. Oh, there you go again. This guy's just started into the art world some time ago and trying to do more. And there are already a few questions about his art venture. Because of some of his past, you know this guy, or at least you know the name. I'm not sure if anyone really knows him. I'm not sure if he knows himself. But he's getting praise. The owner of the gallery where they're going to hold it is saying this work is authentic, and I personally love it. It's got a lot of issues that have been thrown at the artist that make him produce really good work. And the artist even said that universal truth is that everyone is connected, and that's what I'm trying to do in my painting. He says it just fascinates me, the connection between the macro and the micro and how these patterns repeat themselves over and over. The artist? I'm sorry, you want to know the name of the artist? Oh, you're going to buy one? Okay, well, as I said, I think the cheap is going to be $75,000. But if you get some friends together and maybe do it, then you can hang it on your wall. That would probably be one of the pieces, sketchings on a piece of paper. But when everyone comes in, you can say, look at this, look at this. And they look closer and say, that was done by Hunter Biden. Why, yes, it was. And I'm proud to have it. Yeah, Hunter Biden got to start selling his artwork. I'm sure Daddy's going to show up at some point or at least say something about it. Because that always helps Hunter. Obviously has in the past, has it not? Well, contrary to what we were hearing from the approach of the speaker at the Fairfax graduation, I want you to remember this pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.